Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. In April, we had the pleasure of attending the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, and during that five-day period, we had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many broadcast executives and thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Continued big thanks to ENCO and Benstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. In our 11th episode of this continuing series, we'll now hear the conversation I had with Rob Babin, Executive Vice President, Head of Radio, Cox Media Group, which is comprised of 52 radio stations in 11 markets, and they have numerous streaming and digital platforms.
So I don't know about you. What is this, the second day, maybe third day? I'm so confused what day it is. I am beyond tired. How are you feeling?
Same. What day is it, actually?
That's good point. So funny. When I said that, I'm like, I think it's Tuesday.
I think you're right. I fly out tomorrow, so tomorrow evening, so yeah. Right.
So it's pretty exciting. The NAB is celebrating 100 years, which is just fantastic, you know, and we're talking about innovation and what the future looks like. From Cox's perspective, is there any initiative or anything you're focused on as the head of a company that you can share with us?
That's a great question. I mean, we have, you know, I think priorities. First of all, I'll say 100 years of serving our communities. We're sustaining, we're continuing to ensure that we're focused on being live and local and connecting with our audiences and doing our duty as broadcasters to serve the communities and the audiences that trust us every day. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of priorities connected around that are fundamentals, but also innovation and usually centered around research and understanding what our customers or our audiences want. And from a business perspective, same, right? We're focused on helping local businesses in those communities succeed. And so we're continually researching those clients, audiences, and also the consumers in our markets. And so it's not directly answering your questions, but there's a lot of innovation, a lot of moving forward on solving problems around that research.
Right. Now, you've been, I don't want to say employed, but you've been with Cox for a long time.
22 years.
Wow, I didn't realize it was 22 years. Yeah. But you've seen so many changes, and now here you are. It's gone through ownership change, and here you are leading radio. You know, what's it like sort of moving up? When you came into Cox, did you ever have any thought that you would end up running the division?
I'm from New Orleans and started in Baton Rouge Radio, New Orleans Radio. And at that time, it was late 90s, right? Or 2001 is when I joined the company,
right.
January. I actually thought for a second I might not be in radio much longer because in my short time in radio, worked for three owners. You know, that quick, a lot of change was happening back then.
Right.
And I met Bill Hendrick, who was the previous executive vice president for Cox Media Group. Really, really loved his culture, his team, and he hired me. You know, I took a step back. I was a general sales manager in New Orleans. But to join the right company, I took the step back in title so that I can grow. And I wanted to be a successful sales manager.
Well, I don't know if you're going to share this, but I recently heard you tell a story about what it was like with Bill and trying to get a job. And I was fascinated by that because you didn't think you were going to get the job, did you?
No, he's tough. If you know Bill, Bill's very tough. But he's about his people with the kind of thread with CMG. And I actually had a very intense interview with Bill. It was hard to get a job with, especially a manager job with Cox. And so when I flew back to New Orleans, at that time we had a 3-month-old, and my daughters were also 2 and 4.
Right.
And so my wife was very curious as to how the interview went. I said, "Oh, don't worry, no need to pack. We're not moving to Orlando. We're not moving from New Orleans."
So you came home just like that's not going to work.
That's it. Next day, I get a call from at that time the GSM, saying that Bill wanted to make an offer for me to be the local sales manager in Orlando with Cox, and it worked out. But it is, I mean, the journey there, though, I started as a sales manager in Orlando, then went to Atlanta, and then grew as a DOS, then went to Miami, and grew there, and RVP, and so on, and so on. But it's just, you know, rolling with the changes, and I think continuing to stay focused on what's most important, which is our people.
Right.
Our most important asset.
Well, and Cox has always certainly been known for being very focused on their people and recognizing that people matter.
Right. I mean, especially in this business, right? I mean, it's people who get the job done. It's people who connect and people who care.
You know, with all this technology around, I don't think I've had a conversation with anyone where they didn't bring up AI. You know, so where do you see that?
Yeah, it's a fun topic. If you can see me, I'm squirming in my seat.
Yeah.
No, it's a fun topic, and I think it's one that's not going to go away. It'd be like us when the internet came out saying, oh, it's going to go away.
Right.
I truly believe as broadcasters, it's our duty to serve our communities. And I think the airwaves should remain protected, in my opinion, should not be driven by AI. So that's one application that people are talking about.
Right.
You know, we want decentralized content. We want decentralized information, right? And so I think that's critical and vital to the American people. Mm-hmm. As broadcasters, we continue to be this decentralized and independent voice for our communities. So I'll say that. Now, on the other side, AI is exciting.
Right.
I mean, I think about the applications. Just a few months ago, I have a new VP of digital strategy, and he came to me and he said, look at this. You won't believe this. We can write seed letters to clients. We can, you know, we can actually now have a way to do, you know, draft commercials, or, you know, different ways to look at, you know, content, if you will, right?
Right.
And I think there's applications in sales, in production, right, and so on. There's going to be applications that we're going to innovate around going mm-hmm. forward. Where I stay strong is I believe we must continue to be decentralized. Right, the pipeline needs to be protected when it comes to over-the-air
right.
communication, information, and serving our communities.
Well, and you're right. It's definitely not going away.
It's here.
So how's business? I don't know about you, but I still can't believe we're in the second quarter of the year. And it's moving so fast. So how does the first 6 months look in your organization?
So first quarter was good. And so it's always good when you hit your numbers.
Absolutely.
Start the year strong.
Yep.
But yeah, we see some headwinds, in Q2. And it's driven by categories. Healthcare has been a bit of a challenge the last, you know, couple years mm-hmm. as elective procedures and certain subcategories of healthcare have been a bit of a challenge.
Right.
Automotive, we're still looking for that bounce. It's getting better. I could tell you, I was in Texas last week seeing some of our team there, and the dealerships are flooded with inventory. So there's inventory. Rates
yes.
are high. So I think it's a good condition, you know, for the automotive dealers and manufacturers to have to create incentives and guess what? Advertise.
Turn over those cars, yeah.
Right? So I feel good. I feel good about the back half of the year.
Good.
And, I feel good about 2023 overall.
So you mentioned a couple of categories that may not have been as strong as you would like. Are there other categories that are stronger than you expected?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a continuous, our focus around developing direct customers in our markets.
Right.
And ensuring that our teams have the right tools to do that. We've seen great results and growth. And one of the categories that's been on a run for probably, you know, since the last Great Recession was home improvement. And we're seeing continued growth in that category this year.
Yeah. Home services or services in general.
Right.
What about recruitment? Have you seen much movement in that?
You know, I can't say it's really hit my radar as far as, you know, a mover or a decline.
Right.
So, to be honest with you, I haven't seen much there.
On the topic of recruitment, one of the things that we continue to hear through our sales advisory committee is how hard it is to recruit new sellers. And, you know, there used to be a time you might have a job open and you had lots of resumes to choose from. But as competition has changed and industries around us have changed, I don't think that's necessarily the case. So what's going on with regard to Cox Radio with regard to recruitment?
Yeah, I'm smiling. This is audio, but
yeah, audio.
This is a passion You know, I've always believed that it's our we must recruit and develop our future. Mm-hmm. And for years, we had programs in Cox Media Group, Cox Radio, that we've executed. And I'll tell you what, about a year ago, I was Q1 was finishing up. I went to all the markets, came back, and really had some hard thinking to do because I don't think we did a good job over the pandemic in maintaining young, new early career sales professionals.
So retention was an issue.
And so I pulled together a committee. And I'm happy to say I think we're solving that, right? It remains a challenge, but we've created a new program. So in bringing in a few key leaders, I gave them a challenge. And the challenge is to really, a financial challenge of a new seller, you know, what should they produce? What should that seat be worth?
Right.
Right? And it made, I think, some of our team a little uncomfortable because when you really look at what a seat should be worth, it's a pretty big number.
Yes.
Right? And so, okay, great. Then if we start there, then we have to ask the question, how do we go out and attract new people to our business in an ever-evolving, you know, how we sell, like the sales process has changed, technology's
yes.
changed. And how do we, but here's the key, how do we employ the right onboarding, coaching, support, and here it goes, ensure they reach that financial target within a year. And so the team, you know, we spent a couple of days in Atlanta, and we came up with a program that I'm pretty excited about. It's called the STAR program. Sales training for accelerated revenue, mm-hmm. and we created business development consultants from there, and we asked for an investment from our corporate, our CEO.
Right.
We got supported, and so what's changed is, you know, I've always been a fan. I always tell you, I still remember the 1-800 number for RAB because as a seller, I rely on instant backgrounds and all the great tools.
Right.
And I that's great. But that's not the way we sell anymore. Yes, with data. Yes, with RAB tools.
Absolutely.
But in addition
to that,
that's
just one part of it.
Filling the funnel is the biggest part. And applying the right resources from RAB and from other partners that we have,
right.
I think is critical. But filling the funnel and teaching an early career salesperson the process of engaging in new prospects, it's a different world. And there's new technology and new process that we've developed that I'm excited about.
And compensation's part of that too, would you not say?
Correct. Title, compensation, support. But yet, you know, I hear, you know, every once in a while you hear people say, "Oh, you can't find good talent anymore. No one wants to be in radio." All these negative things cast upon our industry and our business. I do not believe that.
Right.
I believe that we've not approached, you know, these young, either in college or young career professionals, and showed them, hey, here's a way that you can be successful. Yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, it's going to be challenging. However, if you've got the talent, right, we've got the process. We have the will to help you, and you're going to be successful. Dang it, and you're going to like it.
Well, dang it,
it's going to be fun.
Well, and due to the great support that we get from many of our REB member companies, we have 170 college students here at the convention this year. We call them the RAB Radio, our scholars, and these are 170 students who are very interested in radio and media, and what a treat it is to have them here and to listen to them and help mentor them. So you're right, we have to outreach, but there are people who are very interested in our business.
Yeah, I think when you frame it, and I see it often when I go to markets as well. I love meeting with all of our employees, and you know, you do a town hall, and I like to think that I'm not, even though I'm corporate, to your question earlier about coming up in a company, I'm an employee. I just so happen to have this title. And
you're not the suit in the corner.
I hope not. Maybe some listening will think I am. No. But I think when I go to the markets, I try to spend time with our teams, and What I see eyes light up, especially early career salespeople, on air content promotion, doesn't matter what department actually.
Yes.
When we talk about the difference about being a broadcaster, you can select, pick the job. It could be sales, it could be production, on and on and on. You can work for many different industries.
Right.
But when you're working in radio broadcasting, you are truly helping to defend democracy, right? You're truly, by what you do, the content you create, the clients that you develop, right, the support in between, you are allowing millions of people to get information, to be entertained, to smile, right? Help businesses actually fulfill their potential through marketing solutions. That's a pretty cool, it's a cool industry.
It is cool.
And you see the eyes light up when you realize, yes, we've been around for 100 years plus now. And the reality is that you can apply your talent, you can apply your career efforts to better our country.
Right.
Right, to make us better as communities across the country. I think when we talk about that mission, I see people lit up. And I'm excited about it.
I'm always excited about it, but I even more excited. I wish everyone listening to this could see your face, because you do, your eyes lit up and you have a beautiful smile, and it's true. It's very motivating, and if we're having a bad day, we really need to remind ourselves about our power and what we mean to our communities.
Isn't
it matters.
Awesome?
It is awesome.
It really is.
We're very lucky. Very lucky. So, you know, the word disruption comes up a lot. Our industry has been disrupted in many ways. But can you share some of the key challenges that you're faced with at Cox right now, and how maybe your approach has changed to the industry?
Yeah, I think, look, all of us have to do more with less in a more challenging environment. So I think really identifying the most important, most critical priorities and remaining focused on those priorities that make a difference.
Right.
And it can't just be transactional, meaning that, okay, we're going to push this down. You really got to ensure that your leaders understand the mission and the why, right? So then they can cascade that to their teams.
Mm-hmm.
So why I say that is because there's a lot of distractions and competition for talent. And I believe that you have to continue to align across the company our mission,
right?
Because the challenge is retaining quality and talented individuals, and also recruiting and developing those for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Without talent, we can't exist. And I would say, you know, there are other challenges, you know, like I always say, Nielsen and measurement and all of those things that we can't control. But you got to understand that's the measurement we have at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to continue to do the best we can to deliver great content.
Right.
Market to the audiences and actually continue to produce, you know, great ratings. I think the other part I would say is from an advertiser perspective, the competition is always increasing. It seems like we've always talked about challenges. We've always talked about, you know, this new competitors or, you know, individuals offering this or that. I think there's a lot of commoditization, though, of services and digital products and items that we sell,
right,
or media assets that we sell. And actually, I think it's back to the core of focus on the customer. Focus on helping the customer win in their marketplace by providing marketing expertise, right? Developing that campaign and applying the right media asset to that campaign. That's how we counter the competition, if you will, that's hitting our clients from every angle.
Right.
In some ways, it's almost a it makes it not simpler. It continues to be an advantage for us when we approach clients that way, as so many other companies are approaching the client. You know, it could be email or whatever it may be.
Sure, sure. I always like to ask this question because I'm always fascinated by the answer. But you are in charge of all of us right now. You know, you're leading Cox Media. But let's now think of our industry. What is the one thing, if we could get the industry to focus on one issue, speak with one voice, and really be focused,
yeah,
what would you like that to be?
That's big. That's heavy.
It is. Wow. It's a big question.
It's a big question. And, you know, I would say it on the spot. I think it's, we need to continue to unify the American people. We need to continue to provide decentralized information, music, you know, make them smile, help them see the beauty that is this country, that the opportunities that are out there, right? We can use our airwaves to make a difference. We can, first of all, we have to be authentic, and we have to be, I think, live and local to be credible to those audiences.
Right.
And the beauty of radio is we have so many different formats speaking to those different communities, but that's authentic. It's tougher to do in other media.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question becomes, what good can we do as an industry with those airwaves? How can we help others realize their potential? How can we help others map to resources that are available, and so on. I just think we have to continue to think about these airwaves. No company here owns the airwaves, but all of us own the airwaves as the people. And I think that's how we have to continue to approach this precious media that we're in. It's unique that way, and we have to ensure that we protect that moving forward. And let's think about the good we can do in our communities. And I think what we'll reflect back is another 100 years of commitment from consumers.
Right.
We have to continue to innovate and you know, be there, be where they want to be and such from a platform perspective, but we have to continue to stay focused on improving and unifying our communities.
Well, I think you bring it full circle, because especially a lot of new people coming into the industry, broadcasters are licensed. I think many people forget about that. And with that license comes responsibility. And I think that's what you're talking about, really assuming that responsibility and taking it seriously.
Right. I mean, we have, you know, people will often talk about our competition, the dot-coms, you know, pure plays, whatever it may be. And it's tough, sure. It is.
It really is tough.
You know, we're competing against other entities that don't have the regulation. But that's our responsibility. This is the industry we've chosen because we also belong to the people. And I think that relationship needs to continue. We need to be mindful of the difference in the impact we can make, whether it's through audience, through advertising sales. I said earlier, I believe selling advertising is helping your community. When you help a business grow through marketing expertise and helping them move the needle through advertising, they can hire more people in the community. When they hire more people in the community, that affects families, affects the communities, the parks, and so on and so on. So again, I'm excited about this industry. I think we've got an exciting road ahead, and we've always had headwinds, we've always had challenges, but I really believe in this business we're in.
Let's charge on.
Let's go.
I love it. Let's go. Radio matters because?
Radio matters because it's local. It's connected. It's true. It's free. And it's a civil service. It's a service to our communities.
Mm-hmm. And radio works because?
Radio works because we have engaged consumers. And at the same time, we have phenomenal companies. And I mean all the companies that, you know, we're all competitive and all those things, but we have people who are truly focused on connecting with those audiences, improving the audiences. And I mean, to have that kind of civil mindset from an industry, I think is pretty dang cool.
I think you're pretty dang cool. And I want to thank you for reminding us of our responsibility and of all the opportunities that are available to us. So again, thank you so much for allowing us to grab you off your busy schedule. And thank you for joining us on Radio on Main Street.
Anything for you, Erica. Anything for you, R.A.B. And I appreciate you and have a great show.
Thank you. You too.
Rob feels strongly that when working in radio broadcasting, we are truly helping to defend democracy by what we do, the content that is created, the clients that are developed, and all the support in between. We're allowing millions of people to get information, to be entertained, to smile, and to help businesses fulfill their potential. As Rob says, it's a pretty cool business.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.